A strong Aussie dollar this morning. Actually, the standout out of all the majors. We'll take a look at the Aussie GDP numbers from yesterday, which have been held back a bit by household consumption. When will it bounce back? And the ECB today. We know they'll stick, just like the Bank of Canada did overnight. But till when? And has Jerome Powell given anything away in the testimony in the US Congress overnight? It's Thursday, the 7th of March, 2024. It's the morning call from NAB. Good morning. Well, it had to happen, I guess. A bounce back in US equities with the Nasdaq up 0.6% today at close, well over 1% earlier in the session, still managing to stay above 16,000 at the close, though. The S&P closed up 0.5% and a 0.2% gain in the Dow. The Russell 2000 up 0.7%. Equities up in Europe as well, 0.5% for the Eurostox 50 at close, and 0.4% lift in the FTSE 100. The US dollar is down 0.4% with a 0.4% gain in the euro and the yen, but the Aussie is up 0.9% over 65.6 US cents. It was up 1.1% earlier on in the session. Bond yields are lower, 5 basis points off 10-year treasuries, down to 4.11%. Flat for Germany, down just 2 for the UK and France. Aussie 10-year yields yesterday were down 8 basis points to 4%, and there they have stuck on futures overnight. And a lift in oil prices at 1.2% for WTI, 1% for Brent, just below 83 a barrel now. Prices quite a bit higher than that earlier in the session. So a bit going on. It's Sky Masters today from NAB in Sydney. Before we talk about what's been happening, what about this strong Aussie dollar then? Have you got any theories?
Morning, Phil. Look, you're gonna hate what I'm gonna say, but you know the US dollar is quite a bit weaker. You know, the DXY.
It's not 1.1% weaker though.
No, it's not. It's not. But you know, it is weaker. The DXY is at its lowest level in over a month, surprising given you know, we had the Aussie GDP print yesterday, which was sort of soft, you know, as expected. So you know, it is a surprise. Surprise uplift in the Aussie dollar overnight. I don't really think I can give you too much more color than that, to be honest.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, well, let's talk about those GDP numbers, because those GDP numbers weren't really surprising. But what is interesting is household consumption is what's really holding that down, isn't it? Up 0.1% quarter on quarter, but it was also only up 0.1% for the whole of 2023. So that's clearly what's keeping things back.
Yeah, you're correct. So, yeah, household consumption was quite weak, with the slowdown most evident, you know, across the discretionary categories. You know, that said, I think, you know, the view or the outlook for consumption is improving going forward. You know, NAB's view was that the Q4 GDP print doesn't really have any large implications for the RBA, in that, you know, they point out that in the context of, you know, two risks that the RBA highlighted back in February, one of them was, you know, weak consumption posing a risk to a faster moderation in inflation. And, you know, digging into the detail within the GDP report yesterday, it sort of suggests that pressure on household incomes is actually starting to ease. While growth is below trend and progress has been made on reducing excess demand, household income outcomes suggest that the RBA, you know, should going forward be less concerned about the risks around consumption.
And I guess the positive sign as well was business investment was holding up fairly well as well. So, you know, business hasn't given up, has it? They're just, you know, obviously just waiting for that consumption to pick up, which will come, again, obviously, as rates start to come down, it'll correct itself. So that's a positive sign,
yes,
as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the view is going forward for growth, that, you know, the risks are two-sided. You know, and growth is easing. But, you know, it's all around, you know, how much does it continue to ease and what's the impact on inflation? And for now, that, you know, the focus is still on the stickiness of inflation.
Well, all over the world, it seems, doesn't it? That question about just how long is it going to take? So two big job numbers from the US, the JOLTS numbers, first of all, that showed that job openings in January were down a little on December and a bit below expectations. Actually, what growth there was all happening in the private sector, because government jobs, their openings are down. That could be a seasonal thing, of course. But we had that, and we had the ADP numbers as well, the two big employment-related reports before the big one tomorrow coming out of the US.
Yeah, I mean, you did talk about yesterday with Ray about, you know, what to focus on in the reports that came out last night, you know, being the ADP and the JOLTS report. You know, the ADP one, we've learnt sort of really that it hasn't been a good guide on the payroll print. Yeah, it was up Having said that, you know, it was up 140,000 overnight, for the month of February, which is a touch below market expectations of 150,000. And, you know, as you say, the JOLTS report openings were 8.86 million versus a consensus view of 8.85 million. So I think those numbers, you know, weren't a driver of market sentiment overnight. Having said that, you do look at the ratio of the unemployed, and that's largely unchanged at 1.45. So the average over the past 6 months for that has been 1.43. So you know that the downward track in that sort of ratio of job openings to unemployed has sort of stalled. So you know, the questioning of the further easing in the job market. But maybe the thing to really focus on, and Ray did point it out last night, was the quits rate. And so that did show further declines. So it came in at 2.15 versus 2.19 in December. So the ratio there continues to fall and fall below pre-pandemic levels. And this ratio is seen as a sort of a leading indicator to wages growth. So it is pointing to a further easing in wage growth going forward. So I guess for markets that, you know, that was sort of a positive outcome.
Yeah, because we all know you only really get a pay increase if you switch jobs, don't you? And if you feel like you can't switch jobs, then you have to stick with your wages where they are, which is that's telling us, isn't it? Jerome Powell gave his testimony as well to the House Financial Services Committee. He's giving a testimony again today. And guess what? You know, he said the Fed would like to see more data that confirms and makes us more confident inflation is moving sustainably down to 2%. Not heard that before. I'm not sure if we can take much else out from anything you say. Did you see anything that was of interest?
No, nothing new in Powell's testimony. I mean, maybe within question time, depending on what your biases are in terms of where you think what the FOMC is going to do, you could read nuances into his comments. But you know, I would say nothing new here. And look, I mean, the market pricing for the Fed is actually pretty much unchanged from what you've seen at the start of the week. You know, the market is pricing around 23 basis points of cuts by the June meeting, and 7 basis points for the May meeting, and around 90 basis points of cuts for the year as a whole. So it's interesting that, you know, you have seen a reasonable rally in bond yields, and you had another good one, you know, overnight. 10-year treasuries currently are down 5 basis points, and, you know, down 11 basis points from the start of the week. And US 2 years are down about 2 basis points overnight, and pretty much unchanged from where they were at the closing level on Friday. But you are seeing, you know, reasonable rally in the back end of the curve. And unchanged expectations for the Fed. So you know, when I look at that, I think, well, you know, what's driving that sentiment? You did have a bit of a risk-off tone yesterday, and I think, you know, overnight there are reports about possibly supporting the bid tone for Treasuries was the sort of further negative news around NYCB. So their share price is under pressure again today, amid a Wall Street Journal report suggesting that the bank was exploring possible equity sale. But, you know, what is interesting when you look at that is that US equities are actually up. So that's not having negative impact on the equity market.
Well, not for today anyway. It had to bounce back because it's had a couple of bad days. So of course it's back again. You can't hold it down.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the interesting thing for me when I look at US Treasuries is, you know, I thought we could be testing down sort of, you know, sub 410 on a weaker than expected payrolls print, but we're already there now. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, maybe we need to get quite a big miss on the downside on payrolls on Friday to get any more meaningful rally in treasuries from here.
Right. Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, we had the Bank of Canada rates on hold, inflation not coming down fast enough for Tiff Macklem and the BOC board. It was total consensus to keep things on hold, but they're not prepared to put any dates in the diary as to when they are going to lower rates, not surprisingly. They did say they're not going to lower rates at the pace they raised them. So no Table Mountain scenario. I was frantically looking navigating through topography of the world to try and find out what we could replace stable. I want something that goes up sharply and then comes down gradually. I haven't found it
slowly.
Yet. So there's homework for today. If we're not Table Mountain, what are we? We had a big jump in German trade numbers as well yesterday. We had the ECB, of course, came out today, but exports for Germany up 6.3% month on month from a 4.5% decline in December. It was only expected to lift by about 1.5%. A big jump in exports as well, but not quite as much. So their trade surplus has widened to 27.5 billion, which could actually be a record. So good news for Germany. And a chunk of it is coming from exports to China. So green shoots, perhaps, although, you know, forecasts are not that optimistic moving forward. But, you know, this was a good one. I wonder what it means to the ECB early tomorrow morning.
I mean, you know, as you say, maybe green shoots, but you know, probably too early to tell. I mean, I think, you know, hopefully if you've got Gavin on tomorrow morning, you guys can dig into the ECB tomorrow
yeah,
morning.
We can. Yeah.
But, you know, again, it's sort of, is it April or is it June for the first move for the ECB? But I think, you know, markets at the moment, I think, are focused on June.
And we get China's trade numbers as well today. Actually, quite a few. I think we get, Australia's trade numbers as well. I think we get them for the US as well. So China's trade numbers, they're going to have to be good because they've got a 5% growth target now. They've got to get on with it if they're going to deliver that this year. We also had the UK budget overnight. That was not terribly interesting, except that. And I wonder whether we're going to see this in other parts of the world as well. The government is now giving a tax incentive. If you invest in UK shares rather than those nasty foreign shares, then you're exempt up to a level for capital gains on those shares. So this is a way of trying to get people. I wonder whether this parochialism will be applied in more share markets as, you know, more investment drifts to the US. Maybe Jim Chalmers will use that one because, you know, we're only a month or so away from the Australian budget, aren't we?
Yeah, that's correct, Phil. We are, you know, the budget's will be out in May. You know, it is interesting. Chalmers did come out yesterday and sort of reiterate the comments that he'd made at the G20, where, you know, he's saying the balance of risks is shifting from inflation to growth. And this is in relation to, you know, looking at the cost of living relief. Maybe sort of setting the scene for what's to come in the May budget.
Mm. All right. Bit of a way off, yeah, of course. Australian trade numbers, home loans for January as well, down 5.6% in December. And we also get investment lending as well for January. We get those. Yes, we do get them for Canada and the US, their trade figures. And we'll be hearing more from Jerome Powell as well. That is just about it for today, though. Moderately quiet. But, of course, the big day is tomorrow. Non-farm payrolls could change the world.
It could or you know.
Or not.
It could be or not.
We'll wait and see. All right. Good talk anyway,
Scott.
Catch you soon. Clear as mud. And that's it. That's the morning call for this Thursday morning. I'm Phil Dobby for NAB. Back again tomorrow morning. Gavin, as we've already said, is going to be joining me for that. See you then.